Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And if we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. And I know we say that a lot, but that's the truth this morning, amen? And he has been faithful to us. I want you to take your Bible, go with me to the book of 1 Timothy this morning, 1 Timothy chapter number 1. If you remember several weeks ago, Brother Jonathan Bass preached for us on a Sunday night, and he read some of these verses that Sunday night, and as he was reading, man, a thought jumped out to me, and I've been working on it since then, and that's really all I've got this morning. I've just got a thought. I really don't have any major points or anything. I just got a thought this morning, and I'll give it to you, and we'll look at it, and one thing we're going to do that I don't normally do on a Sunday morning, and I'm going to flip back and forth in between several different passages of Scripture, but I think you'll understand why by the time that I get done today. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm just going to read one verse to you. Pray, let you be seated. Then we're going to look at some more verses in this chapter, and then in 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then in Romans also. But look what the Bible said, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, look in verse number 12. The Bible says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You that knows the Word of God knows this is the Apostle of Paul that is writing to young Timothy. And here's what he said. He said, I thank the Lord that he enabled me and counted me worthy of putting me into the ministry. Now, I understand that Paul is talking about the call to preach, and he is talking to young Timothy. He gives the qualifications for a preacher in chapter number 3 of this book. And I'm just going to say this in passing, those qualifications don't change. Let me say that again. I need a good hearty amen, as the old timers would say. Those qualifications don't change. You're not going to find no discrepancies in the Word of God. Those qualifications are what they are, amen? But anyway, I understand that Paul is talking about the call to preach on his life, but understand something with me today. Each and every person sitting in this room has a ministry. God has something for each and every one of us to do. Father, help us today. I pray, God, that your will and way would be done in the service. And God, I'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated today. Whenever we study the life of the Apostle Paul, he is a very interesting man to study. Matter of fact, if we go back to Acts chapter number 9, we'll find that his name was Saul before he was saved. We'll find that in chapter number 6 of the book of Acts that Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen, the first martyr that we know of in the New Testament. And that person that was consenting to his death was a man by the name of Saul, which later in chapter number 9 becomes who we know as the Apostle of Paul. Now, know what he says here. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. He takes a minute in the beginning here and thanks the Lord for what God has done in his life. Note this, he thanks him by way of introduction for enabling him. What did he say? He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. Let me tell you the reason and we're able to do what we do today. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God that enables us to do what we do. You that taught a Sunday school class this morning, the reason you was able to do that is is because Christ enabled you to do that. The reason we was able to work on a building yesterday is because Christ enabled us, our health and our strength. Somebody give me an amen. To be able to do what we do. So he's thankful that Christ enabled him. But then watch this. He's thankful that Christ esteemed him. What did he say? That he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. You know what he said? He esteemed him. He counted him faithful. Let me ask you a question this morning. When Christ looks at you, does he count you faithful? Boy, it got quiet right there, didn't it? But Paul says, he counted me faithful. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, Christ has looked at me and saw that I am faithful to what he asked me to do. But watch this, he not only enabled him, he esteemed him, but watch this, he employed him. He said, putting me into the ministry. Who was it that employed him to do what he did? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. I've oft had this question asked to me, preacher, do you think God is done with me? If God was done with you, you would not be here. God would take you home whenever he's done with you. If you're alive today, you've got breath to breathe today, then guess what? God has something for you to do. Now, I don't know about you, but it excites me to think that the God of heaven has something for me to do. The God, the creator of all the world, the one that created everything that we enjoy today, he has something for me to do. He wants to use me. He wants to use my life. He wants to let me help someone else. It should excite us that God is interested in using us today. Well, whenever you start looking at Paul's life, boy, oh boy, did God ever use Paul. Some is estimated that his missionary journeys took him a little over 10,000 miles in his day. Now think about this. Paul didn't have an airplane. Think about this. Paul didn't have a car. Are you with me? Paul either walked, rode a donkey, rode a camel, rode a boat. Did you catch it? Rode a boat? Y'all just thought he got on it and went somewhere. Rode a boat. It was not the convenience of our day, but Paul, over 10,000 miles in his three missionary journeys that he traveled. Can I say this to you? I think Paul done something for the Lord. Matter of fact, whenever you study our New Testament out, if you count the book of Hebrews, and I personally do, 14 books out of our New Testament, Paul is the author of 14 of those books. Some 18 years Paul spent in a prison cell for serving God and still traveled over 10,000 miles in the service of the Lord. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, Paul was a phenomenal man. Matter of fact, when you study the Apostle Paul's life out, here's what you'll find out about the Apostle Paul's life. Here's what is said about it. Numerous writers have made this statement, and I agree 100% with them. Besides the Lord Jesus Christ, no other man in the New Testament had a greater impact on the world than the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, probably even to date, there is no other man that had an impact on the church like the Apostle Paul did besides the Lord Jesus Christ. I think a lot of times whenever, and it's interesting, if you want to look in 2 Corinthians 11 when you get home, starting in verse number 25, at all the things that the Apostle Paul went through while he was serving God. I think sometimes we get this assumption in our mind when we look at somebody like Paul. There's no way that I could ever do that. There's no way that I could ever serve God the way Paul did. There's no way that I could be as effective as Paul did. And then some says this, well, preacher, you don't understand my past. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand the things that I've been involved in. God would never use me because of that. Well, are you still right there in 1 Timothy chapter number 1? Let's read verse number 12 again. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Wow, wait a minute. This man that writes 14 books of the New Testament? This man that travels over 10,000 miles in his day? This man that is, I personally think, is responsible for us having the gospel in America today, because he heard the Macedonia cry and went over into Macedonia? This man that brought the gospel to untold millions of people in his day? He was before what? You see, so many times we see people like Paul and we think about what they've done for God, and we never really take time to look at what they used to be. God is not interested in your past. He's interested in your future. You know what? Everybody has a past. And I read this the other day. A guy said this: you'll never walk backwards into your future. Here's what he said. He went on to say this: our past should be cremated. There's nothing we can do about our past. And you know what? Paul had a past. Yes, we look at what he accomplishes. We look at the great things that Paul's done. We look at the books that he wrote to us. We look at all the wonderful things that Paul done. But look at what Paul used to be for just a minute this morning. He says this: who was before a blasphemer. I began to study that word out, and here's what I found out about it. It doesn't just mean someone who would use foul language, but it means someone who used that in action to God. In other words, one who continually took the Lord's name in vain. That's what he said he was. A persecutor. When you study Paul's life out, you know what Paul did before he got saved? You remember I said in chapter number 7? Of the book of Acts, there was a man by the name of Stephen that was stoned to death, and that Saul, that is Paul of today, Saul, which is Paul, was there consenting to the death of it. Let me tell you what Paul was doing in Acts chapter number 9. When Paul got saved, when he was on the road to Damascus to get saved, and God said, let me tell you what he was doing on the road to Damascus. Paul was headed to Damascus to find Christians to bring them back and kill them for their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a murderer, is what Paul was. Paul would hunt people like you and I down in his day and would kill them, have them killed. Why? For simply believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it come to the Sanhedrin of that day, in the religious sect of that day, Paul was very high up in the religious world of that day, but he was wicked and on the road to hell. And God showed him his wickedness. He was a persecutor, man. He was a persecutor. A lot of people wants to talk about their past. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever killed somebody just for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul did. Let's go on. He says an injurious. You study that out. He was just a reviler. He was just against everything that was for God. But I want you to note the next word, and I want you to circle it. This is the word that I'm interested in this morning. But. And here's what I want to talk to you about for about 10 or 15 minutes. When God butts into your life. But. See, we look at Paul and we think about all of his great accomplishments. But let's take a minute and look at where he used to be. Look at the life that he used to live. Look at the way that he used to do. But there was a time in Paul's life when God butted in. What did he say? He said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. Listen to what he says. And worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said, I just want you to know something. That might be who I used to be. That might be the life that I used to live. But there was a day and a time in my life that God butted into my life. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Just back just a couple books. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I want to read you a couple verses right here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9. Then we're going to look at a verse in Romans, and I'm going to flip back to our text, give you three little things, and we'll go home. Look what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and let's see what Paul has to say to us right here. Here's what he says. Know ye not that the unrighteousness, verse number 9 of chapter number 6, know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Whenever you, and I'm going to mention some things as I walk down through here. Fornicators, when you study that word out in the blue letter Bible, it actually means a harlot is what it means. Neither fornicators nor idolaters. And you know what? The first thing that comes to our mind is this. Well, I don't have an idol. If it keeps you out of the house of God, you've got an idol. Let me say that again, and we'll keep, if it keeps you out of the house of God, it's an idol. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. I don't need to go into effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. It's all over our society today. I'm so sick and tired of having what God put in the skies a promise that he never judged the world by rain and water again. I'm so sick and tired of that being pushed down my throat that God is a God of love. You're right, he is a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. He says, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, greedy of gain is what that is, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, I don't know about you, but that paints a pretty bleak picture right there, because if we're all honest within ourselves, we'll find ourselves somewhere in those couple verses right there. There's been times that we could find ourselves somewhere in there. I'm not an abuser of myself or mankind. Covetousness. Wanting what somebody else has got. Somebody say amen this morning. Help me and we'll get done. We find ourselves in that somewhere. But know what he says in verse number 11. And such were some of you. Here's our word. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know what they're saying right there? Here's what he's saying to us. There may have been a time that we fell into verse number 9 and verse number 10. Oh, but happy day when it was that God butted into our life and washed us and justified us and purified us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may used to have been that. You know what? Paul fit into that. But God butted into his life. Let me show you something. Go with me to Romans. Flip back just a book, Romans. Let me show you something right here. Romans chapter number 6. And I know this is different than what I normally preach on Sunday morning, but Romans chapter number 6. Note what he says in verse number 23. Romans chapter number 6. Since you're right there, just flip back one more page to chapter number 3. Look at verse number 23 of chapter number 3. For all, Romans 3:23. For all. You know what that little word all means in the Greek? All. You know what that little word all means in any language you study it out? Everybody. Y'all with me right there? Everybody. That's what it means in low gap, everybody. All. Know what the Bible says? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know who that is? Every person sitting in this room. Here's what we do so many times when we read verses like I did in 1 Timothy and in 1 Corinthians. Oh, preacher, that don't apply to me. Well, guess what? I just found one that did. For all have sinned. Every person sitting in this room, now, give me an amen, has sinned. Every one of you. I never taught my children to sin. I've never set my kids down and taught them how to lie. I've never, Brother Corey, I've never set Olivia, Victoria, and Madeline down and said, now look, I'm going to give you a lesson in lying. What did the Bible say? Thou shalt not what? Lie. So if we lie, then it's what? Sin. You with me? I've never set them down. But Brother Corey, let me ask you this question. When your kids was babies and who knows, y'all might have another baby before it's all said and done. And he's, I mean, he's about to shout this morning. No! But when your kids was babies, you probably remember this, Miss Morgan. They was just these sweet little old youngins. You had them all curled up and you put them in their bed and you walked off. And about an hour went by and then all of a sudden they started screaming to the top of their lungs. You about kill each other trying to get through the house to get in there to them to see what's wrong. And you go in there, and Brother Randy, you look in there, and they go, stop crying. Completely quit, Brother Josh. And and then all of a sudden, you change. Oh, sweet little baby. You watch a man lose his manhood. Give him a baby. Ooh, so pretty. You look just like me. When you're screaming, you act just like your mama. What did that kid just do? That kid just lied. That baby just screamed and said, something is wrong with me. And you got in there to it, and guess what? There was nothing wrong with it. For all have sinned. You didn't have to be taught to sin. It's in your nature. You just done it. You just done it. That's the reason. This is a whole nother message. Come back when I start the series on the home. That's the reason God said train up a child. Train up a child. God don't give that command to nobody but the parents. It's not my place to allow somebody else to train my children up. It's my place to train my children up. It's not my place to push my kids out into the world and let them figure out what in the world they're supposed to do out there. It's my place to train them up. It's not my place to give my kids a choice whether or not they want to go to church. It's my place to take them to church. I'm training. I'm preaching real good on the home already. It's my place to train them to do that. That kid began screaming because it's a natural born sinner. Natural born sinner. Just like her mama. I mean, look at her. They're a spitting image of each other. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You in chapter 6. Look in chapter 6 of Romans. I know this is different this morning, but man, it's just something the Lord's really put in my heart. Look in verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death. Stop, don't read no further. Look up here. I don't know about anybody else. That's sad. The wages of sin is death. In other words, For the sin that we commit, death is the payment for it. Wages, that's payment. That's what that is. The payment for our sin. Who is sinners? Everybody. We may look at Paul and say, well, I wasn't a persecutor. And we may look in Corinthians and say, well, I wasn't a drunkard, but you a sinner. And according to the Bible, if we broke one law, we've broke them all. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, look back down. But, that's that little word we've been looking at this morning. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. What was the gift of God? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. What was His Son? His Son was Jesus. What did His Son do? His Son went to Calvary. And what did the Bible say? He that knew no sin became sin. All of our sin was placed on Jesus at Calvary. For the wages of sin is death. And guess what happened on Calvary? Death happened on Calvary. But one third and glorious morning, the good Lord woke up, didn't wake up. He raised up, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. But the gift God, Jesus has already paid your sin debt. But the gift of God, when God butts into our life. Now go with me back. I want to show you something. Go with me back to where we started in 1 Timothy. Will you come start playing softly? Do you care? He said this. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. When God butts in, you know what always happens? Grace is found. Grace is always found when God butts in. Watch this. Number one, here's my outline. You ready? I told you, Miss Donna, it's all I got this morning. Number one, there's the source of grace. When God butts in, grace is always found. There's the source of grace. What did He say? And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I am what I am today because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The source of our grace today, it's not in nobody else. It's not in myself. It is not in works of myself. But the reason I have grace today is because the Lord Jesus Christ butted into my life one day at 16 years old. The sin for the grace, what did He say? He said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Why do you need grace today? Because of the sin of our past. That's the reason that we need grace today. Watch this, the supply of grace. Look in verse 14. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, or of our Lord, was exceeding abundant. Exceeding abundant. You know what that means? Let me just put it real simple in low gap terms. There's a whole bunch of it. There's a whole bunch of it. And you know what He says about grace this morning? He says there's a whole bunch of it. You know what He goes on to say about His life? Here's what He says. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. Paul said there's never been a man that lived any more wicked than I was. There's never been a man that lived that was any more vile than I was. And you know what He said? If God saved me, God will save anybody. If God changed me, if God will change my life, God will change anybody's life. Look at verse 16. I'm done. Look at verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Can I just give you some Barkerology on that verse right there? I've read a bunch of stuff on that verse. But you want some some barkerology on that verse. You want some? I'm going to give you some whether you want some or not. Here's exactly the way I interpret that verse, Brother Andy. Paul is saying, Christ saved the chief so everybody from the chief can see what God done in my life. And if he done it in mine, he'll do it in yours. What did he say? He said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. He wanted you to know, hey, I'm a preacher. That's what Paul said in verse number 12. Hey, God put me in the ministry. God used his life. I'm telling you, there's no other person in the Word of God besides the Lord Jesus Christ that had a greater impact on the world than the Apostle Paul did. But he said, before I was a preacher, here's what I was. But I obtained mercy. And the reason I'm telling you about my past and the reason I'm letting you know what I used to be is because I was the big dog of all the sinners. I was the chief of every one of them. And God showed me grace. And the reason he showed it to me is so that you would know that what God done for me, God will do for you. I read this statement. You will never know all he, Christ, can do with you until you allow him to have all that you are. You'll never know all that he can do with you until you allow him to have all that you are. And you know what Paul did? Paul said, here's all of me. Here's all of me. And boy, oh boy, did he change the course of history. Paul was not some supernatural person. I know I've preached different this morning, but man, I hope you're getting what God give me through this. Paul was not some supernatural person, Brother Corey. But Jacob, he wasn't some big supernatural being. Paul was a wicked, vile sinner that hated Christianity, that killed people. Some believe that Paul could have possibly sat on the Sanhedrin that had Christ crucified. Matter of fact, he talks in chapter number 9 about to Paul about it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. We do know that he's consenting to the death of Stephen in chapter number 7. Matter of fact, the majority of the book of Acts is about the Apostle Paul. It's his life. And it's an autobiography of his life from chapter 9 on in the book of Acts. Paul was a common man just like you and me. That was wicked and vile, but he attained mercy and grace. And after God changed him and saved him, he changed his name from Saul to Paul, and he turned the world upside down. And today, thousands of years later, some 2,000 years later, we're still preaching about the Apostle Paul. So don't bring me your sad story of what you've done in your past. Instead, take it to Calvary and obtain mercy and grace and allow God to butt into your life and change your life. If you're saved this morning, you'll never know what all God can do with your life until you give him all that you are. Paul could have got saved, Miss Apple, and said, I'm fine with just being saved. I'm not going to do anything else. There's so many today like that. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like Paul and say, Lord, here's everything that I have. If you're not saved this morning, I promise you, you can obtain mercy and grace, and God can change your life. Father,